third chapter of the book of Matthew. And we're going to be near the end of the chapter. I know that what I'm getting ready to say you already know. We have a wonderful, wonderful God. And he's gracious and merciful to us. He's good. He's kind. And he is manifested in the Bible in three persons: God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And I'm sure that I can't explain all of that. It doesn't have to be explained. It has to be accepted. It's the Word of God, and we're going to just give you one illustration here of that. We're not basically going to teach on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but I wanted to share with you that Satan is a counterfeiter, and he loves to counterfeit. Everything that God does, he wants to give forth something that will be a counterfeit to it. And in the book of Matthew, the third chapter, verse number 15, "And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him." And this is when Jesus came and asked John the Baptist to baptize him. And so John was, you know, upset about that. He said, "I'm the one that needs to be baptized by you." And then Jesus says, when he was baptized. Now, this is the baptism of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. "He went up straightway out of the water." That would be hard to do if you're going to sprinkle somebody. I know you don't have any problem with this, but you know the foolishness of sprinkling to baptize. He came up out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God. You'll notice there that the Spirit is capitalized. That's the Holy Spirit of God, as it says, descending like a dove and lighting upon him. So you see the Son, Jesus Christ, you see the Holy Spirit of God in the form of a dove. And he says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now we hear from heaven the Father speaking. You have God the Son, you have God the Holy Spirit, and you have God the Father that speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to prove the Trinity, because I'm not teaching on that this morning. I'm just simply saying to you, that's in the Scripture. And God makes it very plain to us. And as I said, the devil is the master counterfeiter. He likes to counterfeit everything that God does. One of the things that he counterfeits in our churches today is the music. He brings in a counterfeit music that supposedly, you know, has words and things that sound sometimes good and sometimes not so good, but they're not what God has told us to sing. That is in churches, you know, here and there, and it's a music that is designed to stir the flesh instead of to uplift the spirit of from God. So again, just trying to say to you that Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." You know that. That's in Matthew the 16th chapter. In fact, I think I'll turn over there real quickly. I want to read that to you. Matthew, the 16th chapter. And I'm going to start reading at verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Kind of reminds me of the message our pastor preached, I think it was Wednesday night, on the questions. You know, the questions that are asked Jesus. Well, here he's asking a question. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Then he asked again, he asked the question, who do you say I am? And then Peter, of course, spoke up, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, it's important that you remember that statement. Simon Peter made a tremendous statement here. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. And when it talks about this rock, he's going back and talking about verse 16. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the rock that Jesus would build his church on. Okay, you know, we know what the Catholic do to that, and they try to put Peter as the, you know, first pope and all of these things, and that's fallacy. It's as wrong as can be. But he says they're trying to make Peter that rock. No, it's the rock of verse 16. And he says, and I will build my church, and the gate of hell shall not prevail against it. And again, just let me bring this out. It's not really what I'm trying to get to, but remember something. It didn't say that the church was to stand and that hell was going to attack it. No, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's something you and I need to remember. We in Christianity, and I don't really know how to get it turned around, but we in Christianity have decided that we're not to go out and attack the gates of hell, but we are to wait until they attacked us. That is not true. We are to go out and we're to win people to Christ. Is that understandable? We're to go out and reach them for the Lord. So anyway, and I think when I say we do a pretty good job here, we do pretty good. But I'm just saying to you, that is the principle that God is teaching. He's going to build his church. Now, what I want you to understand is that Satan also has a church. And I want to go back to the book of Revelation, the second chapter of Revelation. So as I said, Satan imitates. He counterfeits that which God has set up as true and real. So Satan counterfeits the church. Now, in Revelation's the second chapter, did I tell you that? Second chapter, verse number 9, I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. You see, Satan has a church. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but turn over to chapter 3 of Revelation. And let me read verse number 9. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. I just want to explain there that what the Lord is trying to teach us, Satan has a church. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment. But he is very, very powerful. He's not powerful like God is powerful, but he is very, very powerful. And we've got to understand that he is working, I believe, more now than ever before. His time is short. He realizes his time is short, and he's working very hard. What I want God's people, and I really believe you do, but I just kind of want to settle this in with you. You've got to understand that there is false prophets around the country and around the world that is teaching contrary to the Bible. And I'm going to show you some things here in a minute, because when Jesus walked this earth, he called disciples to follow him, and they did. But there was one disciple who was, of course, Judas Iscariot, that was of the devil. You understand that. And I'm saying that there's preachers today that are in churches that are of the devil. Now, I'm going to explain why I'm saying that, but just don't think that here in America that we are exempt from all of this foolishness that is going on. We are not. And we must understand that, and you must understand, that when you listen to a preacher, you listen to him with an ear that finds out what he talks about when it comes to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to share with you this, and I want to show you. Clear back then over in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. He says in the 13th verse, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Now, you've got to remember something. He's talking here that they are transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're not transforming themselves into the apostles of Satan. That's what they are. But that's not what they're going to look like. And it's important that we understand this, because we're living in the end days. And listen to what he says. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Did you see what Satan is transformed into? He's transformed into an angel of light. Okay, he's not He's not more than likely going to be somewhere in a church looking like the devil, although he may be speaking like him. But he said, therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So I guess the thing that I want to share with you, and I pray that you'll listen very carefully. I think you're older Christians, and so more than likely you have some understanding of this. But you have to be careful what they say about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who is he? Who really is Jesus? You see, I think I've told you before, but up at Midland, a fellow came in to the church there when we was in Midland, Michigan. And I was given a little bit of warning about him, but he came and began to talk to me and said he believed in Jesus. And so we talked for a while, and I said, do you believe in Jesus of the Bible? Oh, sure. So I asked him if he believed that Jesus Christ was God, made flesh. Oh, no, I don't believe that. No, no, no. But basically what he was doing was believing in another Jesus that wasn't the biblical Bible Jesus Christ. And that's what I want you to be careful with, because words of these false prophets can really get you messed up. Sounds like they believe. Well, tie them down and find out what they do believe. Do they truly, honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? The Christ means the anointed one that God sent, that God the Father sent. And he's the only one that could die on the cross for our sins and be buried and rose again, and soon coming again, we believe. So again, just be very, very careful. We're blessed here. We have a preacher that believes the Bible. And he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He's coming again. We're blessed. But that's not true everywhere. Okay? So now, go with me over to 1 John. The second chapter. I want you to just listen as I read. I'm going to start reading at verse 15 in the second chapter of 1 John. He says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I just like to ask you, is there anybody in here that doesn't understand that verse of Scripture? I mean, God says that you're not to love this world. This world system is Satan's system, and we're not to love it. Okay? And he says, if we do, the love of the Father is not in him. Everybody got that? Okay. Now he says, for all that is in the world, and here he names what it is, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now that's simple, isn't it? That's just plain, plain talk. Then he says, and the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now listen to what he says. Little children, it is the last time. Now this was written a lot of years ago. But he said it's the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. He knows because there's many antichrists, there's many working against the Lord. Now, he wasn't talking about here, there's many antichrists as the last antichrist that's going to come that we discussed, I think, for 2 weeks. And he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth. You know, the Word of God is saying here, we know the truth. We know who Jesus Christ is. If you've come to realize that you're a sinner and you've accepted Christ, you say, you know who he is. You know, you don't have to be fooled or deceived. You know who he is. He says, and because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whomsoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father. And what he's simply saying is, listen very carefully to who people speak that Jesus Christ is. He's not just a good teacher. I mean, he is, but that's not what he is. He's much, much more than that. Listen, be very careful when you hear someone speak what he says about Jesus Christ. This preacher believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's God the Son. And he died on an old rugged cross, died there, was taken, was buried, and he rose again the third day. And he's come, and he ascended into heaven, and he's coming again. You understand what I'm saying? It's important that you listen carefully, because the false prophets are all over the place. Okay? Now, I'm not trying to get you to worry about somebody down the road here or somewhere else. That I'm just saying, listen to what they say about Jesus Christ. And be very careful what you listen to. Amen? So, anyway, we must believe what the Bible says, and the Bible must be taught. The Lord Jesus Christ will have his bride. That's for sure. Over in the book of Ephesians, I'm going to turn there, please. Book of Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So he's telling the husbands to love your wives. We're to love our wives. How? Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how much we're supposed to love our wives. Amen. That's what the scripture says. We're to love them that much. And he says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The Lord Jesus is going to cleanse us. We are in the process of being cleansed now. He's cleansing us. He's preparing us. And at the judgment seat of Christ, we will be completely cleansed. Okay? And then he'll present to himself that holy bride, the church, unto himself. Glorious church, without spot or wrinkle. You see, we know that he is going to have a bride. We also know that old Satan has a bride. I want to take you over to Revelation, the 17th chapter of Revelation. Of the book of Revelation. I want to start reading there in verse number 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Here is the beast, that's his bride, the great whore. Jesus has a pure and glorious bride, the church. Satan has here as one, as he calls it, the mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. That's basically Satan's bride. So I'm just simply saying to you, he always tries to counterfeit. There's churches today that are meeting this morning that has as their pastor a minister of Satan instead of a minister of God. Now that may be hard for you to understand, but it is true. They're everywhere. The false prophets are everywhere. And we've got to understand that. We've got to be sure we know what we're talking about when we listen to the Bible, listen to the truths of the Bible. And I don't know if you've ever been in a church where you just didn't feel, I'm not talking about comfortable as far as feeling comfortable in that church. I'm talking about you go into it and there's just a different spirit there. And it's not the spirit of the Lord. So I'm just warning you this. I'm just saying this to you. You go on vacation, you go places, and usually you're going to pick out an independent fundamental Baptist church. But even there, please be careful. Just be careful. Because old Satan, remember, has his bride also. We know that Jesus had a ministry that lasted for 3.5 years. Okay? And Satan, the Antichrist, is going to have a basic ministry that lasts 3.5 years of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. He tries to mock the Lord Jesus and all the good that God has done here. We have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Satan, of course, who is the devil, has the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. He's mocking. And let me just warn you, please don't get just so laid back that you don't listen when you hear preaching. Listen to preaching. Amen? You listen to it. When you're out on vacation, you go and go to another church, you listen to preaching. And if it's right kind of preaching, praise God. It's wonderful. But let me say to you, the false prophets are everywhere. We are in the end times. And he's doing everything he can to destroy churches. Believe me, everything. Over in Revelation, the 20th chapter, let me start reading verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, and the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. I think probably if you'll just pay attention to this portion of Scripture, you'll understand the wickedness of men's hearts, because this is after the 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And here it says they're as the sands of the sea. Multitudes and multitudes are going to be stirred by Satan and to stand against the Lord Jesus after his 1,000 years of reign right here on this earth. That certainly tells us something about the heart of man. Without a new birth, without Jesus Christ coming into a life and changing that life, changing the way we think and believe, if that is not done, I want to tell you the wickedness of men's heart is terrible and wicked. So listen to what he says. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. In a very short period of time, God devours them. Satan is turned loose after the 1,000-year reign. And he goes out to deceive the people. He gets multitudes of them to come against the Lord, stand against the Lord. And then God sends fire down from heaven and devours them. Now listen in verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I don't know, even comprehend why people, you know, the Jehovah Witness, they do not believe there is a hell. They don't believe in that. And I'm saying, why can't you just read the Bible? It says there is the devil going to be cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. Remember, they was cast in at the right before the 1,000-year reign of Christ. They're still there, burning. You understand that? This is serious business. This is forever. See, it says there that day and night, forever and ever. It'll never cease. Okay? And then he says, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which was written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in them, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And then he says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That ought to do something for us. That ought to get us busy. That ought to make us realize we've got to get people saved, because if they're not, they die, they're going to be cast in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen? So again, I hope that maybe just kind of stirs your heart to realize that there's a hell, Did you know, just real quickly, Jehovah's Witness, I read the other day, their publication, The Watchtower, has got more publication than any other magazine or pamphlet anywhere in the world. And they don't sell a one of them. They give them away. And you know who gives them away? Jehovah's Witnesses. I call them that and shouldn't, but that's who gives them away. It's like 24, I think I'd have to reread it, 24, 25 million copies. It's amazing. And they give them away. Now, how are we doing? How are we doing with the tracts, invitations, and speaking to people about Christ? Let's pray. Father, thank you again today. You're good to us. Thank you for the grace and kindness. And thank you, Lord, that you warn us, Lord, that this day is a-coming when the judgment's going to fall. Now, I pray you give us help and encouragement and strength and Lord, not just the ability, but Lord, the Spirit of God in us, that we'll go forth and take forth the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.